Chapter 9. This is Jotham speaking. I'll tell you about it a little later, God willing. Jotham is saying to those that are following Abimelech, but if not, let fire come out of Abimelech and devour the men of Shechem and the house of Millo. And let fire come out from the men of Shechem and from the house of Millo and devour Abimelech. And Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech his brother. Notice this verse. Again, verse 21, or verse 20, it says, let fire come out from Abimelech, and let fire come out from Shechem, and let these two devour one another. That's the last thing he says. Now, in chapter 9, look over at verse 57. And all the wickedness of the men of Shechem did God requite upon their heads. And upon them came the curse of Jotham, the son of Jerubbaal. I just read you of his curse. Now, verse 22. And Abimelech was prince over Israel 3 years. And God set an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem. And the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech, that the violence done to the 70 sons of Jerubbaal might come, and that their blood might be laid upon Abimelech, their brother, who slew them, and upon the men of Shechem, who strengthened his hands to slay his brethren. Now, the men of Shechem set liars in wait for him on the tops of the mountains, and they robbed all that came along that way by them. And it was told Abimelech. Here is another worthless Shechemite that comes upon the scene, except he claims to be descended from not Shechem, but Shechem's father, Hamor. Verse 26. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, that means a servant, Gaal, the son of the servant, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem. And the men of Shechem put their trust in him. Notice, they had put their trust 3 years ago in Abimelech, bramble. And now another piece of bramble comes by, and verse 26 says, they put their trust in him. Verse 27. And they went out into the field, and gathered their vineyards, and trod the grapes, and held festival, and went into the house of their God, and did eat and drink, and cursed Abimelech. And Gaal, the son of Ebed, said, who is Abimelech, and who is Shechem, that we should serve him? Is not he the son of Jerubbaal, and Zebul his officer? Serve ye the men of Hamor, the father of Shechem. But why should we serve him? And would that his people were under my hand, then would I remove Abimelech. And he said to Abimelech, increase thine army, and come out. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled, and he sent messengers unto Abimelech craftily, saying, behold, Gaal the son of Ebed and his brethren are come to Shechem, and behold, they constrain the city to take part against thee. Now therefore, up by night, thou and the people that are with thee, and lie in wait in the field. And it shall be that in the morning, as soon as the sun is up, thou shalt rise early and rush upon the city. And behold, when he and the people that are with him come out against thee, then mayest thou do to them as thou shalt find occasion. And Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in 4 companies. And Gaal the son of Ebed went out and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city. And Abimelech rose up, and the people that were with him from the ambushment. And when Gaal saw the people, he said to Zebul, "Behold, there come people down from the tops of the mountains." And Zebul said unto him, "Thou seest the shadows of the mountains, as if they were men." And Gaal spake again and said, "See, there come people down by the middle of the land, and one company cometh by the way of the oak of Meonenim." Then said Zebul unto him, "Where is now thy mouth that thou saidst, Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out now, I pray, and fight with them." And Gaal went out before the men of Shechem, and fought with Abimelech. And Abimelech chased him, and he fled before him. And there fell many wounded, even unto the entrance of the gate. We'll stop there, and as time allows, continue more. Let's speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we're so thankful that thou dost tell us about the vicissitudes of men, how one who was the son of a concubine would rise so high, and then the experiences of life that he had. Let us know how instructive this is to us. Let us know that some of us are from higher birth and some of lower birth. It makes no difference to thee. You have high places for those of low birth and low places for those of high birth. And you have many other variations, our God, contained in thy word, and therefore instruction to our hearts. So, from the teaching concerning Abimelech and Jotham, teach us this night. We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and prepare the hearts and lips of those who hear and him who speaks, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Very briefly, because some of you haven't heard about Jotham and Abimelech, but Gideon, who received the name Jerubbaal when he overthrew the idol of Baal, and it's significant because whenever someone wants to accuse him of being an enemy of Baal, they call him Jerubbaal. And so at times he is called Jerubbaal, bringing to prominence his deed in overturning the idol of Baal. And at times he is called Gideon. That is the name given him by his father. So here is this man, and he does a wonderful work for the nation of Israel. He overcomes the Midianites, and Israel has peace 40 years. During that time, Gideon had abundance of wives, and from those wives, he begat 70 sons. And one who was not his wife, she's described as a concubine, she has a child, and his name is Abimelech. So you have 70 sons of Gideon, and you have one son by a woman who is a female slave. And his name is Abimelech. Abimelech comes after Gideon dies, and the people have forgotten entirely about Gideon, all the kindness they owed to him, that he had fought and risked his life to save them, meant nothing to them. As soon as he died, they are prepared to follow someone else. And because of this, Abimelech, an opportunist, comes to the men of Shechem. Now notice, Shechem is a man who was an Hivite, and this is where Abimelech was born, of this female slave in Shechem of the Hivites. So he does not go to Israel and say, "Let me be the one to rule over you." He goes to Shechem where the Hivites are on his mother's side, and he talks them into making him king and into giving him 70 pieces of money to go and destroy his 70 brothers. And he goes and does it. And then he proclaims himself ruler in Israel. And when this happens, we must remember that God is not going to let it go by unnoticed. But God brings to the attention of the Shechemites the evil that they have done. And I read to you just a little bit in chapter 9 how Jotham, standing on Mount Gerizim, denounced the children of Shechem and what they had done, and he called for a curse upon them if what they have done is wrong. He says, now, if you've done right in following Abimelech, then congratulations. May things go well with you. He says, but if you have done wrong in following Abimelech, abandoning all the kindnesses toward Gideon and his household, then he says, let fire come out from them and destroy you. And his curse is twofold. Here is what is so remarkable. Here is Abimelech whom they have chosen. Here are the Shechemites who chose him. He says, let fire come out of Shechem and devour Abimelech. And let fire come out of Abimelech and devour Shechem. You say, well, how could that be? That is his curse. And if we get to the end of it, we will see how that curse was fulfilled. But now notice, just as in another instance, when Jehoiada was forgotten as soon as he was dead, and an injustice was done toward his son, then Joash was rebuked for the sin that he had committed. But when he was rebuked, then he was put to death by the man whom he rebuked and his people. But before he died, he said, God, look upon it and requite it. And God never forgot the dying prayer of that man. There are some who pray, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. There are others who say, Lord, lay this sin to their charge. Remember, there are two kinds of prayers. Also in the book of Revelation, there is the death of those who are spoken of as under the altar, and they cry out and say, how long before you avenge our blood, the injustice done to us? And God says, wait, wait. So in this instance, Jotham, knowing of the injustice done to his father's 70 sons, it's mentioned the 70 because it was supposed to be that he was killed as well. And in the mind of Abimelech, he was dead, but he fled, he escaped. But again, God, having made known the injustice that was done to the sons of Gideon, then this man Jotham flees for his life. And the last we ever hear of him is this. It says, Jotham ran away and fled and went to Beer and dwelt there for fear of Abimelech, his brother. But notice that before he flees, he denounces the sin of Abimelech and those that followed him, and then he flees. The same thing happens toward Israel. Though they are not going to pay any attention to him, it says God sent prophets to them, rising up early. He sent prophets to them again and again, and even though they do not listen to him, at the last, when the judgment of God falls upon them, God says, my witnesses have told you the consequences of disobeying me. So here is another instance of God crying out through one of his servants the wrong done to his people. And then it says in verse 22, and this is so sad, even though this wrong is done, this wicked man Abimelech was prince over Israel 3 years. How sad. Why, if evil is done, does God not judge it speedily? God even tells those who are under the altar, he says, wait, have patience. I will retribute. I will avenge, as God says in Romans 12, vengeance is mine. I will recompense, saith the Lord. But he does it when he wants to, where he wants to, and how he wants to. But Jotham is the one who pronounces this curse. And his curse comes to pass in just 3 years. There are some who pronounce curses, and not in their lifetime, and not in the lifetime of generations does the curse that they utter come to pass. But it always comes to pass. And I read to you that after these 3 years, somehow history is developing, but the thing that this man spoke, even though he was cowardly, he spoke the truth of God, and then he fled for his life, and he dwelt in Beer, and you never hear of him again. He was the mouthpiece of God for 1 hour, and then he disappears from the scene. But notice, God has made known his mind, and here are 3 years that Abimelech and the Shechemites had with one another. And what happens? Abimelech discovers that the Shechemites do not enjoy his rule over him, and Abimelech hates the Shechemites, and the Shechemites hate Abimelech. Why? Look at this now. Verse 22 in chapter 9. He was prince for 3 years. Verse 23. And God set an evil spirit between Abimelech and the men of Shechem, and the men of Shechem dealt treacherously with Abimelech. Do you see how God is under control? There are certain things that he allows to be done that are wrong, and he does not tell us why he did that. But when his time comes for bringing to pass this curse of Jotham, then he sends an evil spirit. And these people that looked with such favor upon Abimelech, their brother at the first, now are looking upon him with hatred. And Abimelech is looking upon them in the same way. Why? Because God sent an evil spirit upon them, and he turns the men of Shechem against Abimelech, and Abimelech against Shechem. And now this has begun to work. People are not able to see what's happening, but God is, and God has sown the seed of discord by this evil spirit, and before long, before chapter 9 finishes, then the curse of Jotham is going to come to pass. Now, this is what happens. Since there is enmity between Abimelech, who is ruling the Shechemites, and probably the northern part of Israel, since there is enmity, the Shechemites have been afraid to venture out of their city. They are surrounded by the city walls, and they have a tower, and they are afraid to adventure out until verse 26. Gaal, the son of Ebed, came with his brethren and went over to Shechem, and the men of Shechem put their trust in him. He's no better than Abimelech, but they are tired of Abimelech, and they have not strength and leadership enough to throw off his bonds. So another worthless individual comes, and they put their trust in him. And this is one of the liveliest, funniest scenes in the Word of God. This is what happens. It says in verse 27, they've been afraid to come out, but it says in verse 27, they went out into the field and gathered their vineyards and trod the grapes and held festival and went into the house of their God and did eat and drink and cursed Abimelech. So here they are. They finally go out and they harvest their grapes, and you see them celebrating and getting drunk in the house of their God, and this man that they hate, they're cursing in the name of their God, cursing, cursing. And this is when Abimelech stands up and he makes his speech. He says, this is my opportunity. You see, when Abimelech, or rather Gaal, the son of Ebed, this is his opportunity. Just as Abimelech had his opportunity and presented his case, and the Shechemites said, you are the one that we're going to trust. We want you to rule over us. So now, Gaal is the one. Here he is. He's drunk, and listen to this challenge he gives in verse 30. He says to Abimelech, increase thine army and come out. And if you've seen people that are drunk before, boasting, staggering around, and here it's all in the name of religion. They are celebrating in the presence of their God, and they're drunk, and they hate their enemy, Abimelech, and Gaal is prodding them on to rise up against him, and all of these things are taking place, and for the first time, they have courage to go out of their city. They hold a festival to Baal, their god, and now plans are made, and a challenge is put forth by Gaal. for Abimelech to increase his army and to come out. Now, let me tell you a little bit about this man, Gaal. What has happened is this. You read about Shechem and Hamor, and when I tell you a little bit about it, you'll say, I remember them. Hamor and Shechem were the father and son spoken of in Genesis 34. Shechem was the man who took Dinah, the one daughter of Jacob. You remember he had 12 sons and one daughter that is named in the Bible, and he forced her, and then Hamor, his father, comes with Shechem, and they plead with Jacob to give Dinah to be the wife of Shechem, the son of Hamor. And Jacob, in his stealth, says, let us think this thing over. And if you remember, they made an agreement. They said, well, this will all do if you will circumcise all the men of Shechem. If you do that, and then things work out, then we will allow your son Shechem to marry Dinah. And what happened was that Simeon and Levi, when these men were sore from their circumcision on the specific day, it said they took the sword and they slew all the men of Shechem. And then they fled for their lives. And yet there was no need. I shan't have you to turn to it. But just as God in this chapter sends an evil spirit upon Shechem and Abimelech to hate one another, it says that after Simeon and Levi, the sons of Jacob, had destroyed all the males of Shechem, it said that God put a fear and a dread upon the people so that they were not in the least prepared to lay a hand upon Jacob and his sons. And this shows the control of God over the actions of men and over the history of the world, though we are not aware of it. Why is it that some who seem so weak are filled with courage, and some who easily could have destroyed Jacob and his sons, why are they afraid? It says, because God had put a spirit of fear upon them. And God has done this again and again. You'll read that after Saul turns his back upon God, an evil spirit from the Lord is sent upon King Saul, and he attempts to slay David. So there are spirits that God sends to influence the behavior of men. This is an instance. I'm not going to tell you any more about it. But here is Gaal, and he is descended from Hamor, the son, and notice that's what he's talking about. He says, why do you want to serve Shechem? He goes back to the father of Shechem and says, serve Hamor. Evidently, he was descended from Hamor. Now, some were descended from Shechem, but some were descended from Hamor, and he evidently was descended from Hamor, and he says, don't follow the descendants of Shechem, follow me, a descendant of Hamor. And he convinces the people, and then he throws out a challenge to the army of Abimelech. Now, all this while that he is saying these things, look at verse 30. And when Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed, his anger was kindled. Up here, while he's making this speech, Gaal is insulting not only Abimelech, but it says Zebul, his officer, he's insulting them both. Well, you say, well, why doesn't Zebul do anything about it then? Because the people have put their trust in Gaal. That is why. And Zebul can do nothing about it at the time. But he stands patiently by, and he yields to this boasting speech of Gaal. But what happens is after he's made that speech, it says, verse 30, Zebul, the ruler of the city, heard the words of Gaal, the son of Ebed. His anger was kindled, and he sent messengers unto Abimelech craftily, saying, and he tells all that's been going on in the city and all of these challenges of Gaal. Now, verse 34. It says, and Abimelech rose up, and all the people that were with him by night, and they laid wait against Shechem in four companies. Now, this man, Zebul, is a wise man and a patient man. So let Abimelech cast out all of these aspersions upon him and upon Abimelech, and do absolutely nothing, and then let him rule over his people. And finally, this. He goes along with him until the armies of Abimelech come close to the city. And it says in verse 36, "And when Gaal saw the people, he said unto Zebul, Behold, there come people down from the tops of the mountains. And Zebul said unto him, Thou seest the shadow of the mountains, as if they were men." He's stalling for time as long as he can. And here is the enemy, Gaal, looking out, and he sees men coming, and he says, "Where are they coming from?" He doesn't realize that Zebul has sent messengers secretly, and they have told Abimelech as to what has been going on in the city. And now, here is Abimelech's army coming upon them. And he says, "No, no, you don't see people coming. They're just the shadows of the mountains." And all this time, the army of Abimelech is getting closer and closer and closer. And then finally, when they are close enough, look at verse 37. "And Gaal spake again and said, See, people are coming down." And now they're close enough. And look at verse 38. "Then said Zebul unto him, Where is now thy mouth that thou saidst, Who is Abimelech that we should serve him? Is not this the people that thou hast despised? Go out now, I pray, and fight with them." Now the people are close enough, and this man, Gaal, has to go out and fight against Abimelech. And Abimelech is victorious, and he chases Gaal back into the city with his men, and they stay there for a while. Look now at verse 41. It says, "Abimelech dwelt at Arumah, and Zebul drove out Gaal and his brethren, that they should not dwell in Shechem." Now, this is what has happened. God is setting the stage for the curse of Jotham to come to pass. He has gotten rid of Gaal, the son of Ebed. They've had a skirmish with Shechem, but now they return to the city, and Zebul now has strength enough to drive out Gaal and his men. So all we have now left are the Shechemites in the city and Abimelech. But the sad thing is this, whereas you thought that the enemy of Abimelech was Gaal and his men, but that was just the start. Now, in verse 41, what happens is this, that Gaal having been driven out, verse 42, it says, "It comes to pass on the morrow that these Shechemites go out, and now Abimelech makes war against them." Why? Because this evil spirit is working upon them, and he knows that these Shechemites, notice what they did, they put their trust in Gaal, and he drives out Gaal, but now he's going to get even with these Shechemites who put their trust in Gaal. And so the Shechemites think that they are free now to go out into their fields again and work. But as soon as they come out from their walled city, then Abimelech brings his army upon them and in three companies, divided them into three companies in verse 43, and laid wait in the field. And he looked, and behold, the people came forth out of the city, and he rose up against them and smote them. And Abimelech and the companies that were with him rushed forward and stood in the entrance of the gate of the city. And the two companies rushed upon all that were in the field and smote them. And Abimelech fought against the city all that day. And he took the city and slew the people that were therein. And he beat down the city and sowed it with salt. You say, think of this. These Shechemites that he had been ruling over, that had put their trust in Gaal just a day before, now Gaal is driven out, and the Shechemites are destroyed by Abimelech. Then half of the curse of Jotham has been fulfilled. You say, how can this be? God has ways of working this out. Why would Abimelech fight against the very men that he wanted to rule over? Because the men he was ruling over put their trust in another ruler. And when he got rid of that ruler, he's going to take vengeance on the people. Now notice, fire comes out of Abimelech and is destroying Shechem. That's the first part of Jotham's curse. If you've done wrong to my father, Gideon, Jerubbaal, if you've done wrong, then let fire come out of Abimelech and destroy Shechem. And this is what has happened. Fire has come out of Abimelech. Abimelech and his army have come, and they have destroyed Shechem and the inhabitants of the city. Now, look how severe his punishment is. Verse 46. And when all the men of the tower of Shechem heard thereof, they entered into the stronghold of the house of El-Berith. Now, this is not the true God of heaven, but this is their God of the covenant. Do you remember I told you about Baal-Berith, the God of the covenant? So here is this tower. They take refuge in the tower of their God, Baal, the God of the covenant. And it was told Abimelech that all the men of the tower of Shechem were gathered together. And Abimelech gat him up to Mount Zalmon, he and all the people, and this is what he does. He takes an axe and he cuts a bough off of a tree. And he says, you do the very thing that I did. And so all the people cut a bough off the tree. And they bring all of this firewood and they put it at the bottom of the tower. And in verse 49, and all the people likewise cut down every man his bough and followed Abimelech and put them to the stronghold and set the stronghold on fire upon them so that all the men of the tower of Shechem died also, about 1,000 men and women. You say, isn't this a severe punishment? I see. The Shechemites wanted Baal to be their god once again. They wanted Shechem to be the one to rule. They wanted Abimelech, the Shechemite, to be the one to rule over them. And they gave him 70 pieces of silver to destroy all the sons of Gideon. And now, 70 sons of Gideon were destroyed. But now all the men and the women of the city of Shechem are destroyed, over 1,000 of them. And so this is what happens to Israel, who had been following the one true God, and they have peace for 40 years. And as soon as Gideon dies, they return again to following Baal, and therefore 70 sons of Gideon are put to death. But now, this worthless individual who is leading them, he is Bramble, and fire comes out of Bramble, and he destroys the Shechemites. Beware whom you have as a leader, because the leader can destroy you. But at the same time, the leader also remains. And what happens next? Let's look at verse 50. Then went Abimelech to Thebez, and encamped against Thebez, and took it. But there was a strong tower within the city, and thither fled all the men and women, and they of the city, and shut themselves in, and gat them up to the roof of the tower. And Abimelech came unto the tower, and fought against it, and drew near unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Do you see what has happened? He has just successfully taken this tower in the city of Shechem, and now, casting caution to the wind, he comes up underneath this tower, and that is his mistake. That is the moment that God has been waiting for. And look at verse 52. And Abimelech came unto the tower and fought against it and drew near unto the door of the tower to burn it with fire. Verse 53. And a certain woman cast an upper millstone upon Abimelech's head and brake his skull. Then he called hastily unto the young man, his armor-bearer, and he said unto him, draw thy sword, and kill me, that men say not of me, a woman slew me. And his young man thrust him through, and he died. And when the men of Israel saw that Abimelech was dead, they departed every man unto his place. Now, the curse of Jotham has been fulfilled. How is it that fire can come out of Abimelech and destroy the Shechemites? We found that when he came and destroyed Shechem and burned the tower, fire came out of the bramble and destroyed the Shechemites. Well, how can the Shechemites destroy the bramble? How can fire come out of Shechem and destroy the bramble? Why, when Abimelech goes up close to the tower and a woman on top of the tower drops down an upper millstone, and crashes into his skull, and he knows he's going to die, and he calls upon his armor-bearer to thrust him through with the sword. You say, well, isn't that remarkable? There was a curse upon both of them, and not one was destroyed and the other survived, or one survived and the other destroyed, but one was destroyed by the one, and the other was destroyed by the ones that he seemingly had destroyed. That's exactly what the curse of Jotham contained, and that's what it predicted. So here is this man who for 3 years reigned over Israel as much as he could. But those 3 years came to an end, and God sent his Spirit and worked his will in history and in the lives and in the hearts of men. And so this is what I want to bring to your attention, things that I am afraid of. If I have ever done anything wrong to you, and you pronounce a curse upon me, I will not take that curse lightly. If I have stolen, if I have lied, if in any way I have injured you or done wrong to you and your family, and instead of praying, overlook it, Father, forgive him. Instead, if you say, as Jotham did, if you have done what is right, then may good come to you. But if you have done what is wrong, then let God's judgment fall upon you. That would frighten me, and I would go through life wondering when that curse was going to be fulfilled. Let me add this. You will find that Jehoiada had done good to Joash, but when Jehoiada found out that he was going to die, and he passed from the scene, then Joash rose up against his son Zechariah and put him to death after all that his father had done for him. And Zechariah said, God, look upon it and requite it. And God did, not in his generation alone, but in generations to come, which I cannot tell you about in particular. But just remember that some pray curses upon people, and if they're righteous curses, then God listens to those curses, and he brings justice upon them like this. One other thing I'm afraid of. This morning, I read to you in Matthew 18 about this man who had been forgiven $10 million, and then he went out and he would not forgive that man that owed him $17. And it says his fellow servants went and told their master. I'm afraid if I've ever done wrong to any man, if you saints go and say to God, John Mills committed an injustice and he is not showing mercy, he is not behaving as a Christian, we want you to know that, O God. I say that with fear and trembling I would walk among you. Why? Because God heard what they told him about this man that treated his fellow servant so shamefully, and God sent him to the tormentors. So do not take lightly if you have done an injustice, and a man whom you say, well, you should forgive me and pray for me, beware. If he speaks to God and says, require it of him, and if he pronounces a curse, it may be that God wants that curse to fall upon us. So beware of curses, and beware of God's saints telling their Lord the wrongs that you have done. God can bring upon your head the wrong that you have wrought upon the head of another. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we pray that we shall not be so foolish as to follow a man like Abimelech, and then to follow a man like Gaal. Our God, we pray that we shall be afraid of the righteous pronouncements of men who are your servants when they are spoken in our ears. Let us turn to you and repent, our God, and seek to avert these consequences that could come into our lives. Let us remember, Lord, that your ear is open to the righteous, and the prayers of your children, so hear us, our God. And so let that verse that says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, O our God, be not mocked, in mercy that righteousness also occur, work upon thy people, and thy will be done. Hear us, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.